wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Man loves what God hates. It is a sad fact that man loves what God hates. What is it that has so captivated the hearts of men the world over? And yet it stirs the holy hatred of God so greatly it has separated man from his God. It is sin. Man loves his sin, but God hates it. He always has hated sin, and he always will. From the time that Lucifer, the devil, first brought sin into God's universe until that day when all unrepentant sinners will be cast into the lake of fire, God hates sin. There can be no peace and no fellowship between God and man so long as sin stands between them. The scripture says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." Mighty plain truth, neighbor. God really puts it just as it is. What can be done about this matter? To belittle this serious condition is folly. In man's effort to ignore sin, they call a drunkard an alcoholic, and they claim he has a disease, but such is not sin. They talk of the criminal as a good man, but just made a mistake. Wicked lies they term fibs, and filthy lust they labor as self-expression. Thus man schemes to evade the plain truth. But sin cannot be dodged no matter what label you put on it. Neighbor, God faces you with your sins. Don't try to hide them, but own up to them and repent of them. God wants to bless you. He's found a way to save you and bring you back to himself. He has taken care of every obstacle but this one. You must renounce your sins. The Bible says that God sent his son Jesus to bless us in turning away every one of us from his iniquity. God provided the Savior. The work that saves is finished. The blessing of God is waiting for you, but you must resign your sins. Some people love their sins. I remember when they had signs on their automobiles, "We want beer." And they're determined to have their sins. But others want to be done with their sins, and they turn from them to God for his deliverance, not just from the punishment they deserve, but from the sins themselves. Our Lord's name was called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is, from the practice of their sins, as well as from their guilt and doom. God's way is to take a man from his sins. We cannot clean up this wicked old world and take sin from people's environments, but the gospel calls upon men to turn from all evil to God. The triumph of the gospel of Christ is seen as a man lives for Christ in the same neighborhood where once he lived for sin and Satan. But when preachers cease denouncing sin, lest they offend their congregation, and church members compromise with sin from the dance to the liquor bottle, it is hard for me to be heard. But as a prophet of God, I stand to deliver his message to any who have ears to hear. Hearken! If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's the Bible truth, neighbor. The verse says, "in my heart." That means he loves it and wants it. When sin is thus coddled in any heart, they can pray or call on the Lord for salvation, but he will not hear them. The rich young ruler who came to our Lord Jesus loved his money. It was his sin, and yet he wanted eternal life. Our Lord spotted the iniquity in his heart and told him to give away his riches and to take up his cross and follow him. A Samaritan woman asked Jesus for the living water, but in her heart was her love sin, her lust for men. The Lord told her of those six husbands she had stolen from their wives. for she must forsake her sin if she would be made right with God, and so must you. No matter how distasteful this fact is to you, neighbor, I must face you with your sins and call upon you to turn from them to God, that he might bless you through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But in resentment, some of you protest, saying, what's so bad about me? I know you tried to cover your sins by your baptism and joining some church, but that has done no more good than Pilate trying to wash off the guilt of crucifying Christ in a basin of water. Your religious cover-up has not hid your sins from God any more than did Adam's fig leaf apron. In the midst of this religious fog, I hope to find one honest soul. Do you say, I don't love money? I haven't stolen anyone's husband or wife. What is the iniquity in my heart that God will not hear me when I pray? Listen to the scriptures. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Let us remember that God is no respecter of persons, and in whomsoever he finds these things, he hates such sins. They are an abomination to him. Be honest, neighbor, and face the facts. First, God hates a proud look. Proud looks, words, and deeds. Has God seen these in you? Do you despise the poor for their rags, or the unlearned for his ignorance? In pride, do you scorn those of other nations, or count yourself superior to those of a different race? The fact is, while you proudly despise others, God despises you for your abominable pride, which he hates. Second, God hates a lying tongue. Were you faced with the lies your lips have told, would it not seem like an endless list? You didn't need to go to school to learn how to tell a lie. They just popped out of your deceitful heart like stench from a rotten egg. Because Christ is the truth, he hates lies. A big church is popular for its teaching that the end justifies the means. Hence, if you lie for a good cause, it's not sin. And even if you killed to help their religion, they say it's not sin. No wonder the members of that church have become notorious for their deception, and their history is stained with the blood of the innocent. Third, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. In the dark ages, that big church tortured those who would not conform to it. Christ taught us to love our enemies, not to torture them. His conquest is won by love and not by the sword and the stake. But when the Bible says innocent blood, we think of the cry of Judas Iscariot, I have sinned, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Judas betrayed Christ, Caiaphas condemned him to die, Pilate crucified him, the soldiers nailed him to that cross, but you, what had you to do with it? You sided with the world that murdered God's Son. This world has never repented of that awful deed, have you? That's enough for God to hate now, isn't it? Fourth, God hates an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. In the dark ages, the church, as it called itself, was devising machines to torture people. Today, nations are spending millions on millions on machines of human destruction. In other realms, they study how to practice immorality without detection. No wonder God says of men, God saw the wickedness of men, that it was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. This stirred the hatred of God so much in Noah's day, he destroyed the world by a flood. And today he still hates those evil imaginations. Neighbor, the wicked imaginations of your own heart might well make you ashamed of yourself before God. Be honest about it and repent of it, for God hates all such. Fifth, God hates feet that be swift to run into mischief. Troublemakers are everywhere. Children's fun turns into fights. Women run from house to house with their gossip that turns a neighborhood into a battlefield. While men slur their competitors to gain business for themselves, man is a born troublemaker wherever he goes. Six, God hates a false witness that speaketh lies. Perhaps the fear of the court will keep you from lying in the witness chair, but what have you witnessed about yourself? Did you ever say, I am a good person, I am? Or, I've never harmed anyone but myself? Or, I've never done anything I'm ashamed of? What lies are these? Such are abomination to the Lord your Maker and your Judge. 7. God hates one who soweth discord among brethren. Brethren are those near and dear to one another. In the whole universe there never were two so near and dear to one another as the Father and the Son of God, Jesus our Lord. In eternal love they delighted in one another, and yet one day something separated them. A darkness surrounded the Son of God, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What had happened? God had been so provoked, he cried, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd. And God's Son was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who caused all this? Listen. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I caused it. It was my sins, which God hated, and which Christ my Savior bore for me, that caused him to suffer so from the very God who loved him. Now suppose some wicked lies of yours had separated a husband and wife who were lovers, and the wife was dying in sore grief that her husband had left her. What should you do? You should confess that your sin had caused it all, and in humble contrition seek their forgiveness. Why not then do that to God? He waits for your real repentance and your seeking his forgiveness. Until then, the blood of murdering God's Son is on your hands as certainly as it is on Pilate's. If you killed a man and another was being hung for your crime, and you still had the bloody garment of the man you killed, would you not give yourself up to justice and present the garment and confess to your guilt? Hold up then to God your bloody hands. Tell him it was your sins that caused it all, and in repentance seek God's forgiveness. Then on your knees call on the Lord Jesus to save you, and tell him, Lord Jesus, it was my wicked sins that caused thee to suffer so on Calvary. I thank thee for dying for my sins. Lord Jesus, please save me and make me thine own, as I now surrender to thee to be my Lord and my Savior. When you thus renounce your sins, which you once loved, he will hear you, and God will bless you with his eternal salvation in Christ, and give to you, to abide in your heart, the Holy Spirit. This will so change you that the sins that you once loved, you will hate, and you will find your delight in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman. Wow.